WSDQ Dunlap, WEPG South Pittsburgh, The Copperhead, WSDT Soddy Daisy, Chattanooga.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Heffling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. On this program, I try to expose the truth about subjects that affect American liberty, your liberty. For those that know me, know income taxes. One of the things I really like to talk about is it's one of the main issues that affects Americans' desire to work or even be successful sometimes. My goal is to eliminate the income tax for everyone. We do that in part by following the U.S. Constitution. When I talk about the U.S. Constitution, that is the rule book. It is the, what they call the supreme law of the land. Just by the Constitution, the IRS shouldn't even exist in a free country. But you can get more information on that at freeenterprisesociety.com. freeenterprisesociety.com. We're going to be talking about other things today, but what is happening out in the world in the cities is ridiculous and dangerous, and it is a direct affront to our way of life, our institutions, our U.S. Constitution, and there's no question that these people, they even call themselves Marxists now. Marxism is not a good thing. It won't be a good thing for you. I don't know why people seemingly are supporting this so much. Because even the people that are supporting it are not going to like it if the Marxists succeed in this battle. But on the income tax, you can also look at truth-attack.com. Quite a bit of information there on the income tax and why it's a problem, why we need to get rid of it. It is counterproductive to a free country and a free people. So you go there, you got Innocence Revealed is a documentary with five attorneys and a former IRS special agent, telling the average American that you and most Americans aren't even required to file a return. It's free on that website, truth-attack.com. Innocence Revealed is the name of it. And you can still watch it in its entirety on that website. And the filing date is coming up. They delayed it till July 15th. So a lot of you are now worried about that. You haven't been working. What's going to happen? You know, I know when people don't work, taxes don't seem to be a problem, but now people are going back to work, and income tax is starting to come up again. So you can watch that video, it doesn't take very long, and learn a little bit about the income tax. But we're going to talk about more things today that are hurting this country. We're going to talk today with Nathan McPherson. He is an attorney, a big supporter of the U.S. Constitution. He has recently come and got involved with a lawsuit against his own governor there in Idaho for constitutional violations for this, what I call, fake pandemic. I'd mince no words with it anymore. There was this whole shutdown and everything is ridiculous to me. I mean, there is a flu out there. I think that's correct, but was it worth shutting the economy down? I think that was criminal in and of itself. And, you know, even the Democratic states that did these shutdowns are trying to blame Trump for it, but the CDC guidelines and stuff that I saw were not mandatory. It's the governors that made them mandatory. It's the mayors that try to make it mandatory. And my question is, and we're going to talk about that today, when a governor makes an executive order, how come that applies to me or to you? Because I don't work for him. Executive order from the governor, under my understanding, would only apply to the people that work for him. But anyway, welcome, Nathan. It's a pleasure to have you join me.
Thank you. Great to be back on. How are you
now,
doing?
You work with a firm as well, and you've been helping people for quite a few years. I've known you for quite a while here. You help people with in IRS issues, with debt problems, and you're just a good all-around guy on the Constitution, as your father is.
Yeah, second-generation tax and constitutional defense attorney. BeatIRS.com, the main practice, as you mentioned, is having to do with income taxes, criminal tax defense, civil tax defense, and then finding a way forward after that. But it all ties in with the Constitution. which you mentioned, is the supreme law of the land, state, and federal constitutions in their respective spheres. And it all boils down to rule of law. And we're seeing right now a complete and utter lack of rule of law, whether it be from these communist citizens or these communist government employees, executive branches, judicial branch tyranny. I mean, we have tyranny left and right, but the only thing we don't have is freedom, rule of law, anybody following the Constitution. It's outrageous.
Well, I'm going to leave the riots and stuff alone for today, but let's this executive order thing, you know, Obama started doing a lot of that, but, you know, executive orders are proper. The executive of a, you know, the executive on the federal level being the president, he would do an executive order to move, you know, a ship or something from Australia to move it to India. That's under his purview. If he did an executive order for Nathan McPherson to wear a red hat, he doesn't have that power. You might like a red
hat. Change red hats to
that's not the
face
point.
Covering. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're talking about face coverings, but also shutting down private businesses.
Also, right.
I mean, what? I mean, how absurd. The governor, maybe I'm wrong, so you can correct me, but the governor would have purview over people that work for him. You know, if he wanted people in the transportation, you know, the busing and stuff, whatever the state deals with, to wear a yellow shirt, they would probably have to do that. But to tell Steve or Nathan to wear a yellow shirt, we don't have to do that, that I can tell. Or wear a mask or close our business. And, I mean, how absurd. I think just a few months ago, a little bit before the pandemic, people would laugh at the idea that the governor would do an executive order shutting down businesses.
Yeah.
Across the state.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But now what if he said, well, we can't wear clothes anymore? Our clothes are really what's spreading this disease, so no more clothes. How many people would follow that? I'm afraid that there'd be quite a few.
It seems too many. Too many of them, I think.
But and
if you don't, then you might want to kill other people or something. Yeah, the executive branch is to faithfully execute the laws being passed by the legislative branch. And mostly these executive orders, or you know, what the design is to carry them out, so to tell the executive branch, you know, administrative agencies, what to do, how to carry out these laws. And what we've seen here is a tyranny of its worst kind, where we have a violation of separation of powers. The governors, notably in Idaho, where I have my lawsuit going, but also in many other states, there have been even lawsuits brought by legislators in other states, because the executive branch, the governor, has kicked out the legislature and said, I don't want your input. I don't need your input. I'm going to do what I want to do. You can't tell me otherwise. And we even have, for instance, in the case of our lawsuit against the Idaho governor, the assistant attorney general handling the case, threatening us with Rule 11 sanctions if we don't withdraw our lawsuit. And in his email to us, he even said, I already told you what the law is. Your lawsuit is bogus. You need to dismiss it, or I'm going to move for sanctions. Of course, he didn't even follow Rule 11 with his email. It wasn't proper. And after sending that Rule 11 email to us, he said, hey, can you send me the lawsuit? I haven't been able to access the documents yet. So
oh,
I hadn't even
man.
Read the stinking thing. I mean, but what's clear from that is the governor does not want judicial branch review of his actions either. I've had
well,
several
they're going down in flames, the ones that do get it. So,
And that's probably why. So I've had several Idaho legislators contact me complaining about the governor not involving the legislature in violation of the Constitution of Idaho. And now with this, a bullying to try to avoid judicial review, we see that this is the problem. We have a lot of little King Georges running around. And it's, as you mentioned before, mayors, county commissioners, governors, it's executive branches at every level, except for, oddly enough, at the federal level, because as you mentioned, there were no federal requirements imposed on us regarding this Chinese virus. No mask mandate, no shutting down of businesses, nothing came from the federal level.
It's kind of frightening to me that how few people must have taken a civics class. I mean, even over here in California, he did this mask requirement just recently. I mean, and store after store that never had a mask requirement this whole time, all of a sudden won't even let you in the store, some of them, without a mask because it's a law, they said, by the governor. And they don't understand how the law is made.
Well, I'm sure it has nothing to do with him having ordered $1 billion worth of masks from China.
Well, maybe, but it doesn't, you know, the private business. I think the governor in Illinois was a little more honest. He said that, you know, if you have a license in this state, you better listen to me. But I don't think that is valid either, because those license, you pay your license fees and take the training. That's all they're for health and safety. It's not for, you know, threatening to take your license away because you don't do some stupid order that he wants to make on you. You still don't work for the person.
No, and we've seen patriots for decades complaining about these unconstitutional license requirements and how it's a hook, it's a trap, and now we see that playing out as well.
I think a lot of people should question the license to begin with. If they're going to use it for blackmail. Well, I guess I'm not too far off. The governor has given, he declared an emergency, and I remember under Bush, the Congress, federal Congress, gave Bush extra power for making war himself and doing things without declaration of war. And I always thought that was illegal to begin with. The Congress wouldn't have the power to delegate its entire power over to somebody else or to another branch. But they're kind of doing that in the states as well. The California governor has certain authority given to him by the legislature, which ended in the 60 days, which is one of the lawsuits going on here.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care about that either.
No, so it varies from state to state, although it's all quite similar in these different emergency powers. There's a duration of time, you know, whether it's 14 days, 21 days, 30 days, 60 days, whatever it might be. Oftentimes, under the different state laws, it can be extended perhaps one time, something like that. And then the legislature weighs in, and they all have some kind of wording respecting an emergency that's an immediate threat to life, property, that type of thing. And the interesting thing that we've been noticing is that the wording is quite vague. So everybody, and I imagine, you know, many of these laws are quite old, 100 years ago or whatever. And so I imagine back then when these laws are being passed, people are assuming, yeah, we have foreign troops on our soil. You see, you know, in the case of Idaho, Canadian tanks rolling across the border into Bonner's Ferry or something, right? Then everybody's going to understand if a governor says, hey, this is an emergency, we need to do certain things. If you have foreign tanks rolling down your street, okay, we get that. Or if there's a hurricane, tornado, something like that, that's actively moving across, then you understand that for a short period of time, you might have a need for some kind of emergency powers to protect everybody, because there's a, you know, I think there's even a movie, Clear and Present Danger, right? We can understand that. But the problem here is we've moved in society from previously having wars against foreign government to then having wars against non-government actors, terrorists, to then having the war on terror and ideology, to now having a war on a virus that nobody can even see. I mean, maybe a scientist might be able to see it under a microscope or something, but, you know, how do I know whether this is a flu, whether this is some Chinese virus, whether the person died of whatever the heck? The fact is we can't see it. We don't know whether Bob has it or Sally has it or not. But now, because we're at war with this virus, we've suspended the Constitution. It's absurd. It's utterly absurd. And it's gone on for how many months now? Oh, now we have a second wave, a third wave.
Well, there's the music. We got a heartbreak coming up there, Nathan. I got to interrupt you there. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Nathan McPherson. He's an attorney and a big supporter of the Constitution. And we're talking about some of the things on the coronavirus lockdowns. Stay tuned for more after this break.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything. Boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Remember when arguments were made before the Supreme Court both for and against the constitutionality of what is known as Obamacare? You probably heard much of the screeching and shouting about this topic in the news. But I would like you to think about something that you probably didn't hear and maybe haven't thought about concerning this issue and other issues that come before the Supreme Court. No matter what opinion the Supreme Court issues in this case or in any case before them, that decision does not have the force of law. Though a Supreme Court ruling is not unimportant, it is legally binding and enforceable only with respect to the parties in this particular case. That means it doesn't affect anyone else. It doesn't become law. With respect to the particular parties involved, it's a ruling. But with respect to the rest of the world, it's just an opinion. Here's the important implication of that truth. The governor of each and every state retains the full right and duty to determine whether or not the individual mandate within Obamacare complies with the U.S. Constitution. Indeed, each governor should determine whether or not the whole scheme of Obamacare complies with the Constitution, rather than allowing it to be accepted as law in his or her state. I believe that all the fanfare and all the radio and TV coverage is a lot of smoke designed to convince you and me that the Supreme Court is the great and powerful Oz, and that it is the final arbiter of the constitutionality of the matter, and indeed, of all the matters in the country. But if we look behind the curtain, we find that this simply is not true. Why am I so sure of this? I read the Constitution. So can you. This is Michael Anthony Peruca for Institute on the Constitution, bringing you the American View.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Norman Rockwell didn't create the best in us. He just inspired the best. You've seen the paintings. The Thanksgiving turkey being served at Grandma's. The weathered farmer sending his baby-faced son off to college.
Now be sure and write.
The wise police officer sitting at the soda bar, talking a young boy out of running away from home.
Where are you going, son?
Norman Rockwell didn't create the best in us. He just inspired the best. Inspiration. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now, now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Back to the Tech Hour. I'm Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. The Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. I do want to comment the importance of Liberty Works. This network and networks like it, I believe, will be the new mainstream media of tomorrow. The mainstream media is not reporting both sides of the stories any longer. This network does. And if you like this program or others, I hope you can support it. It is a listener-supported network at lwrn.net. You can leave a one-time donation, or you might need the station's help, but I think you can set up a monthly donation of some sort. It's automatic. $5, $10, $20, or $50 or something like that. You may want to write this number down. It is a call-in number. It's 410-848-9191. Again, it's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments for my guest today. We're back with my guest, Nathan McPherson. He's an attorney, big-time supporter of the Constitution. We're talking about emergency powers and some of the things that happened during the epidemic, fake pandemic, as I call it. Now, welcome back, Nathan. We were talking about, the emergency powers, but I kind of read some of that over, and they can set aside statutes, for example, I read, they can set aside regulations, they can set aside rules. But I didn't see anywhere, even in those emergency powers given to the governors that I saw, or even the national level, where they can set aside the Constitution. Do you know of one?
Yeah, actually, I was speaking with my niece a couple of weeks ago about this, and she made the observation that it's precisely four times of emergency that we have a Constitution. Think about that. Why do we need a constitution? Well, if everything's working well, then, you don't need any rules at all, right? If everything's going smoothly, it's when you have problems. That's when you need it. You can tell that she is a homeschooled person.
Well, how old is she?
Oh, what is she, about 15 now, I think. I've lost track of so many.
I love it. That's fantastic.
Roughly that.
Well, we have a caller. And I didn't get the name there, so you're on the air.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Edison in Clinton, Florida.
Who's this?
Edison.
Edison, yes, from Florida, that's right. You're running for sheriff out there. I talked to you a little while ago.
Yes, I am, and I'm a true hard constitutional defender, and I will give my life for it. Trust me on that one.
Wonderful.
I have a question for the gentleman, the attorney Nathan.
Yes,
go ahead.
I'm getting small businesses together in my community, but most of the lawyers here are, I think, they're incompetent to even fight the governor, because I feel that they have violated, and they lost their businesses, by the way, on the shutout that they were forced to shut down, on the intimidating tactics that the governor has given them, and of course through the licenses that they have, whoever gives them the licenses. Is it possible, can civilians sue the governor on that or not? Or do we have to have a lawyer?
So if it is a business, so an individual can represent himself, but a business, as far as if it's a corporation or a limited liability company, has to have counsel because it's a separate legal entity. So the court rules require that a corporation or a limited liability company be represented by an attorney.
Well, I mean, so the sole proprietorships and stuff wouldn't have that issue.
Correct. Or if you sued, perhaps, as the owner of the business rather than the business. The shareholder.
Yeah, okay. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it is hard to find attorneys willing to take up such a fight.
Right, that's what I meant. And if you know anyone in the state of Florida, they will represent our community. because I'm getting the community together. I'm well known in the county, and I'm trying to help them to educate themselves about their constitution, because it's sad that the school system doesn't educate people no more.
That's right. What section of Florida is it?
I'm in Central Florida, about 60 miles from Jacksonville, Gainesville, and San Agustine.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Let me think about that, and I can let Steve know offline, and then he can let you know if I know that you're here.
Do you need to have my number, or because I do need help? We are very
Edison. Edison, just check back with me. We can't do that on the air for you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sorry. Anyhow, thank you. I wanted to get that in. I'm glad I'm able to listen once in a while to your show, Steve. You're doing a great job. Hey, all your work is not in vain. Like Richard Mack, I told Richard Mack too the same thing. We're fighting for our rights, and we need to do it soon, very soon.
Richard Mack is a great American patriot. We had him a few weeks ago.
He's my favorite. I learned a lot from him. Yeah, he's one of the ones that inspired me to run for sheriff in my county.
Awesome. That's quite encouraging.
I wish I was the sheriff, because I will use my executive power of a sheriff.
Well, when you win the election, I want you to call me. So.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. I think I have a good chance this time. I do. It's only me and a gentleman who, of course, he's been here all his life, but he's very young and inexperienced. He doesn't have, I'll say, the education of life to be a leader and even deal with emotions with civilians. I would like to make another comment about the gentleman who made. I'll give you an example. If the protesters, you need to remove them. I'm sorry. If I'm the sheriff, I'm never removing no protesters. They're allowed to stay as long as they're in a public place and safe. They can stay all day, all night, 24 hours, 8 days a week. It don't matter. We have to take the situation seriously, yes, but they have that freedom and that right, the right to assemble. You can't stop and tell them, oh, you got only 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So as a sheriff, I'm going to sure I have ideas and from New York City experience watching, I don't know if you remember the bank robbery of, they even made a movie about Dog Day Afternoon. I don't know if you ever seen that movie or heard about it. Steve.
I'm not familiar.
Anyhow, I was a messenger, and I was well impressed how the police officers handled that situation. Today, they would have shot them all, the hostages, the way they act, the police officers will react now. They were negotiating. Nobody got shot in the area until the terrorist was taken out in far away, and then one of them got shot, and then the other gentleman survived. You need to
Edison,
watch
the
story. I was there when I was a kid and witnessing. That, to me, impressed me.
Edison, we got to get going, though, but I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
See the importance.
He's going to make a good sheriff if he gets selected.
we see the importance of the county sheriff up here in Idaho, where both the Bonner County Sheriff and the Boundary County Sheriff, those are the two northernmost counties in Idaho, told different pastors, I'm not going to enforce these orders to close down your church. I'll defend you if the state police comes. Or in the case of Bonner County, he said, I don't have enough men to defend you if the state police come and try to shut you down. And then we see I recall when peaceful protesters wanted to gather against these orders in, I think it was North Carolina, they were told, you're not allowed to protest. The First Amendment right to peacefully assemble has been suspended because of coronavirus. But then now we're seeing the violent protesters who are looting are, permitted by the Marxist local government.
They have a good reason for that. They said social justice trumps social distancing. Yes.
Except
social justice is injustice. That's all it is. It is mobs. And
when it was pro-constitution, protesters actually peacefully protesting.
Right.
The strength of a constitutional local law enforcement, we saw that Spokane, Washington had some issues. The Nike store was ransacked and looted and some other damage done in downtown Spokane, Washington. The protesters were moving toward Court Lane and the locals gathered in connection with the local law enforcement. But so besides the local law enforcement patrolling, you had local citizens patrolling with their carbines and handguns. And lo and behold, you know, the violent mobs ran away and didn't ransack Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
That's a good story.
Having a strong constitutional sheriff and local law enforcement aids in rule of law. So very, very important office, the office of the sheriff, as Richard Mack, of course, has shown in his Supreme Court case as well. The Prince case. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes. Well, now you filed a lawsuit against your governor. I don't know his name here right in front of me, but...
Little. they call him Chicken Whittle. Little.
Governor
There's
Whittle.
There's a recall effort against him. Yeah.
There's also a recall against him. There is a recall against Newsom here in California. We have any California listeners. It's recallgavin2020@.com, and you can download the things to sign up. I would just love to see all these Democratic mayors and governors all recalled. I mean, the Democrats are just as mad at him, I think, as everybody else. So.
Yeah, and Little actually ran as a Republican.
Oh, he did?
He made the news. Yeah, he made the news for signing into law something banning men from participating as women in women's sports, you know, with the transgender situation. But then there was a lawsuit filed. I don't remember all the details, but in any event, they ended up paying off the LGBTQ people who filed lawsuits against them on LGBTQ plus discrimination. And then when we file our lawsuit to keep the churches open, they threaten sanctions against us. It's kind of interesting how that works. I'm not quite sure what to make of that.
Well, let's go over. I want to kind of go over your lawsuit, the details, if you want to talk about that. What the issues are you're bringing forth in there in Idaho? Because I know Michigan went, well, first Wisconsin. I mean, totally unconstitutional by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They're open. Michigan just very similar decision to Wisconsin. Oregon was talking about their 60-day limit or 30-day limit, whatever it was, and that's at the Supreme Court in Oregon now. California has a 60-day limit that they're looking at, but. Even there, they're really looking for a constitutional one, but who knows what we can get in California. But the whole issue there is the, you know, emergency powers that our governor is looking at does not set aside the Constitution. So, and it doesn't anywhere.
Yeah. Our lawsuit was specifically regarding, religious freedom. So the First Amendment right to free exercise, the First Amendment Establishment Clause, and then, you know, the right of peaceful assembly, free speech, you know, these related issues tied to the restriction, well, the outright initially prohibition on church services. And in Idaho, there was the original order that was then extended, and then phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. So under the original order, which was then extended, like I said, it would be legal for your pastor to drive to the grocery store, but not to drive to your house to pray with you, read the Bible to you, administer baptism, communion, you name it. And likewise, it would be lawful for you to drive to the grocery store, to the doctor, to the park, to go camping, hiking, fishing, whatever, but not to drive to church or to drive to your pastor's house for religious purposes.
Well, I got to interrupt you there, Nathan. We got the music. Got to... One more break coming up. You're listening to the Truth of the Heck Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Nathan McPherson. He's an attorney and a big supporter of the Constitution. We're talking about his lawsuit against the Idaho governor on the unconstitutional lockdown. Stay tuned for more after this break.
America. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, not everyone understands that.
You don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
This is Randall Yearout on Subversion. Just based on current facts before us, our nation's political leaders in elected office and both major parties have embraced policies and legislation subversive to our American form of law and government. Therefore, I think it profitable to visit the wisdom of our founding fathers regarding this kind of behavior. Samuel Adams, regarding spreading the wealth around and centralized control of the economy, said these ideas are, quote, as visionary and impractical as those which vest all property in the crown. They are arbitrary, despotic, and in our form of government, unconstitutional, unquote. These charges could be aimed directly at our president and Congress today. Thomas Jefferson wrote of a central government so strong that it borders on monarchy. These men have no right to office. If a monarchist be in office anywhere, and it be known to the president, the oath he has taken to support the Constitution imperiously requires the instantaneous dismission of such officer, and I hold the president criminal if he permitted such to remain. To appoint a monarchist to conduct the affairs of a republic is like appointing an atheist to the priesthood. Unquote. The situation in America today is socialism for we the people and a political class who think they're monarchs rather than our agents. Congressmen openly insulting citizens exercising their First Amendment rights to redress. Congressmen taxing future generations without their consent. Presidents and judges approving of all this with their silence. These will be our defining years in the eyes of our children and grandchildren, but if we do nothing, we will come to nothing. We need Americans in great numbers to join us.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
I will not be taking any questions. As of 10 a.m. this morning, the U.S. Treasury Department has issued a full recall of all 776 billion pieces of U.S. currency in circulation. I know this must seem like a blow coming on the heels of this morning's announcement that our federal budget deficit has passed the $800 billion mark. But regrettably, these particular bills were printed with dye containing toxins that, while completely safe at this moment, will become extremely deadly Friday at exactly 12 noon. As a result, we need to act quickly. Okay, tomorrow all Americans will receive a bag like this in the mail. Do not, under any circumstances, attempt to burn or shred the money yourself. The federal government are the only ones that can destroy the money, as we are the only ones with the proper facilities to do so.
This is a massive recall.
We understand that this recall will be hard on U.S. citizens who will have no more money, but we assure you, if you work hard, you will be eventually able to earn it back.
This is in the best interest of the American people.
This dye poisoning causes your internal organs to rot from within and is really painful until you puke up your guts and die. There really is no time to think about this. Just listen to me and send in the money. Thank you.
Copperhead 1240, 1190, and 910 a.m. Southern Rock, Kickin' Country, and Tennessee Talk.
Are you concerned about the side effects of using hormonal birth control? Look into a natural method of family planning that's 99% effective, environmentally green, and causes no risks to your health. For information on learning natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study, see the Couple to Couple League's website at ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Heffling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. If you want to write this number down, it is a call-in number. It's 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. We're back with my guest, Nathan. We're talking about his lawsuit against the Idaho governor. Right before I get back to that, I do want to mention on freeenterprisesociety.com, we put up a new item up there on the constructive notice. The constructive notice is something, if you've been damaged or you're upset about the mask order or any of these things, or you were shut down or you were hurt financially or whatever, you can, you know, you need to put your constructive notice out and put it, give it to the governor. And what it says there is that you know your rights, you're not going to waive any of them, and you're not going to volunteer for anything. It's also basically tells them that you need to know what your authorities are. If you go outside your authorities, you can be sued in your personal capacity, which means the state or the county or the government, whatever it is, can't come forward and bring and pay for your defense, pay for their defense. And so that is free. We have that free on our website at freeenterprisesociety.com. You ought to download that. It doesn't cost anything to get it. You can give it to your mayor. You can give it to your police chief, your sheriff, your governor, anybody who you want to have that, or if you are concerned that they may violate your rights, or maybe you've already been violated, that's something you can look at. We've already had reports. You can sue behind the notice, but we've already had reports. This notice got people backed off, county employees and stuff. They skip you after you give them that notice. So, it doesn't hurt to do it. Anyway, we're back with Nathan, and we're talking about your lawsuit, and you were in the middle of telling us why you finally felt, you know, it had to be a decision for you to decide, well, gee, I just wake up one more, I'm going to sue the governor.
Yeah, well, so our first plaintiff, Scott Herndon, is up in the next county north in Bonner County. He ran for Senate, state Senate, 2 years ago, and he drafted the legislation and got it introduced by, mutual friend John Green, who was our state representative, as well as Representative Heather Scott, to criminalize abortion. So he's politically known. He's suing, I think it's the city of Sandpoint, for violating the Second Amendment right, prohibiting firearms at public events, things like that. So he's definitely a friend of liberty. And I knew he was fed up and wanted to bring a lawsuit. The governor renewed the original order that, you know, pretty much almost every state brought one in the beginning, right? And so maybe you can give a governor a pass for following suit right away to figure out, you know, what's going on here. Maybe. I'm not even saying you can, but let's give the benefit of the doubt there. But then he renewed it. And that was the final straw. Right.
No benefit of the doubt now.
About this. What's that?
No benefit of the doubt now.
No, yeah, exactly. You know, doubling down. No, now this is definitely gone too far. And so I said, you know, if I don't bring this lawsuit, who's going to bring it? And so spoke with Scott, the plaintiff, and said, you know, I'll take on the case. Hey, I know a guy who can be local counsel. Colton Boyles, who's another, you know, homeschool Christian father, patriot, attorney, who had actually represented Scott on some of his other constitutional challenges he'd brought before. And said, hey, you know, you want to be the local counsel? Let's do this. And talk to my brother, Scott, who works with me in the family law firm as well. And, you know, his initial reaction was, yeah, hands down, this has gone too far. We need to do it. So all of us said, no, you know, somebody needs to take a stand, and that somebody's going to be me. If we don't do it now, will our children even have the opportunity to petition government for redress of grievances? You know, because that's another act protected by the First Amendment, is the right to petition government for redress of grievances, to file a lawsuit in court. That's protected by the First Amendment, and that's one of the things listed in the Declaration of Independence, that the king refused to hear their petition, right? That led to the War for Independence. So we brought the lawsuit because the churches were completely prohibited from any in-person gathering, and travel was prohibited for religious purposes. Blatant violation of the First Amendment, violation of Supreme Court interpretation of the First Amendment, just outrageous. Immediately after we filed, the governor issued a new order moving into phase one that still discriminated against churches. It allowed them to reopen, but under discriminatory policies, and it prohibited, or purported to prohibit, interstate travel for the purpose of religious exercise. So you could drive from Idaho to Washington to go to the grocery store, but if you dared go to church, that was illegal. You could drive from Montana into Idaho to go to the doctor or go to the grocery store, but if you dared go to church, that was prohibited. There was a mandatory two-week quarantine if your travel was for religious purposes or any other not permitted purpose.
Well,
which also,
I say,
it seems to be a federal constitutional violation. Freedom of travel.
The whole idea of non-essential just burns me.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, the non-essential people were so non-essential. How come it is we go into a depression when they're not working? So
It's completely repugnant. Yeah, we were all created in the image of God, and to say you're essential and you're not is...
Yeah, essential to who? Bureaucrats
outrageous.
Sitting on their butt just getting their
outrageous.
Paychecks for and deciding who's not going to get their paycheck for 3 months or more. I mean, it's just... They've committed crimes. I mean, I want more than them being fired and recalled. I think every one of them, they hurt. And the governor in California has cost people here millions, maybe billions of dollars. Some people lost, businesses are closed down permanently, and that's everywhere. I assume that they did this. Six states didn't do the lockdown like that, I guess, but
right.
California loves it.
We've seen suicides as a result as well.
Yeah.
So
the
interesting thing, the assistant attorney general immediately, calls us up and says, "Hey, what's this all about?" We say, "Well, did you read the lawsuit?" Because we kind of, make it pretty clear what it's all about in there. We engaged in conversation. He said, "What can we do to work things out?" And we said, "Well, here's what you can do. You can fix the problem." He said, "Let me talk to my client." I don't know why he calls him his client. It's the governor, and the director of health. He used these weird terms like my client, as if we don't know who it is. And instead of calling us back, the governor goes and changes the order. So a couple of things. One, the governor put us into phase two, and in that phase two completely eliminated all of the issues we had raised. The second thing that was less obvious was they went in and amended phase one, so that if you go now to the governor's website and look, hey, what was happening under phase one, the first 2 weeks in May, the mandatory quarantine for religious travel has been taken out of it and made voluntary. Now, on May 1st, May 2nd, May 3rd, May 4th, May 5th, if you looked it up, it was against the order. And we happened to take some screenshots and save the PDF we downloaded. So we have the evidence. But now if you go and pull it up, if you get the PDF, if you look at the website, somehow it's changed and those constitutional violations aren't in there.
Well, that's a felony.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Well, not if you're the government. You can do whatever you want, right? And then he proceeded to say, hey, there is no discrimination against religion. You can go to church, whatever. So your lawsuit's moot. And we said, but he could change it at any time. The order itself says he does whatever he wants. And you told us he doesn't listen to us. He doesn't listen to anybody but the scientists. Whatever the scientific experts say, the medical experts, that's what he's going to do. And they said, let me put it to you this way. You can either withdraw the suit or I'm going to move for the court to sanction you. You personally, you the lawyer. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound like due process to me.
Sounds like blackmail to me. So we got off the phone and talked to each other and said, well, wait a minute. Under Rule 11, he has to give us 21 days notice, and he has to give us a writing that outlines exactly what it is that's frivolous in our lawsuit. He didn't do that. He just threatened us on a phone call. That's just bullying.
Well,
so we didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
He sends us an email that still wasn't served, doesn't give 21. He gave us 6.5 days or so of notice in an email.
Okay.
It's not served. It's still not following Rule 11. Well, the answer to the lawsuit is due today. I haven't seen it filed yet, but we'll see what happens. And oddly enough, so he says that it's moot because, you know, the governor changed the order. Now we're in phase, at that time, phase two. Now we're in phase four. Oddly enough, Ada County, where Boise is, where the governor's mansion is, went from phase four to phase three. It got stricter there. There's a mandatory quarantine in that county. Mm. And the Supreme Court case of Friends of the Earth versus Laidlaw Environmental Services from the year 2000 says, voluntary cessation of the contested conduct makes litigation moot only if it is absolutely clear that the allegedly wrongful behavior could not reasonably be expected to recur. Well, guess what? In Ada County, Idaho, it has occurred again. And, I mean, you know, look, Washington State now imposes mandatory masks everywhere. California, like you mentioned, mandatory masks. They're saying, oh, the second wave, they're going back stricter again. That doesn't sound like a lawsuit.
Well, second wave, yeah.
To me.
Mm. Well, this is what I'm talking about. Like that bullying. Governor and that attorney general of yours belong in jail, and so does the governor out here. He lost a battle in the lawsuit against the salons and barbers out here, and then the next day he announced, well, I'm going to let the barbers and salons open. He never admitted the court case was on his, not his way.
Exactly. Exactly. That's
criminal activity.
That's what they're doing.
To me.
It's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous.
But just going outside their authority and the mayors too. Some of the mayors, yeah. You know, they sound well-meaning, but they don't have the authority to make these decisions.
No. And, I mean, it's laughable that some of these smaller government officials, you know, mayor, want to act like they're king of the world, let alone the governors doing it,
right.
County commissioners, Maricopa County, Arizona, imposed mandatory masks, I just heard. Because not all within Maricopa County. That's where Phoenix and so forth. That part
I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. I really applaud it. I mean, this wasn't easy for you to make that decision, maybe, or maybe it was, sounds like. But, you know, I was raised as a Catholic school, and I was very disappointed with the churches just kowtowing and closing. They should have just said, that's not happening. And I remember one of the classes they even had, they said, you know, sometimes somebody from another government may come over here, and they may put people with guns in front of the church, and if that happens, you try to go to church anyway, even if they shoot you in the head. And I always remember that. I mean, they were strict back then. They, you know, they. But now, well, if the government, you know, decides the Constitution doesn't mean anything and your church doesn't mean anything, well, then you just don't come over here. You know? I was very disappointed.
And, all of the Roman Catholics, Lutherans, confessional Lutherans, who were confirmed, and you know, those in other church bodies, but notably Roman Catholic and Lutheran, take a confirmation oath swearing faithfulness to the word of God and the confession, even unto death, right? As you just mentioned. When there's supposedly a virus and we can't go to church, they're voluntarily closing and suspending, for instance, the Eucharist and saying, oh, you know, taking the body and blood of Christ might kill me. That's what we confess. That's what we swore an oath, if you're Roman Catholic or confessional Lutheran, that you'll do that unto death. But, you know, the governor said so, or the mayor, or the county commissioner, or it's kind of scary, so yeah, let's not go to church.
Well, even in all those pandemic movies, where do people go when they're scared and frightened? They're all in bunch of them are in the church. That's where they wanted
that's
to go.
The first place you need to go in time of trouble.
Well, so I want you to give out your website I want you to give out your contact information again, because people might want to get a hold of you. Or I don't know if your website contains stuff for anything about, you know, how this lawsuit is going to go or any reports.
Yeah, beatirs.com. That's BEATIRS.com. And on our website, I believe it's under a tab, McPherson in the News, or is it media? I think it's media is the tab, and then McPherson in the News. There is a link to everything we filed in this lawsuit on our website, beatirs.com.
We're out of time, so go to beatirs.com. Thanks for joining us. You did it. It was a great program. Thanks all of you for listening.
Thank you.
I'll be hosting this program every Wednesday. Also, check out truth-tech.com and freeenterprisesociety.com.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl? Why are carrots orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown? Why can't I fly?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
And now, for the Institute on the Constitution, here's Michael Anthony Perutka with The American View.
It was only a little over 17 minutes in length, but it is said to be the most remembered and the most memorized speech in American history. 50 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. addressed a crowd of 250,000 people gathered in Washington, D.C. He called on the people of the various states and the government of these United States to live up to the principles espoused in the Declaration of Independence. But it was not, as many have falsely claimed, a call for civil rights. In fact, in my view, Dr. King was not a champion of civil rights. He was a champion of God-given rights. Dr. King made clear in his famous address that the liberty and equality before the law that he was demanding did not originate in human government. The right to equality before the law is not a civil right. It is a right ordained by God that civil government has a duty to defend. Dr. King quoted from the Old Testament books of Amos and Isaiah when he said that he hoped his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He was applying God's fixed, eternal standard, not a malleable, man-made one. In both private and public policy, we must remember that God created only one race, the human race. Therefore, all elevation or denigration of individuals or groups based on skin color is immoral and shameful because it violates the law of nature and of nature's God. This is Michael Anthony Perutka for Institute on the Constitution, bringing you the American view.
This is Rob McQuay for the Institute on the Constitution, and you've just finished hearing Michael Anthony Perutka's commentary on the American view. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this radio station, and we welcome any comments and suggestions you may care to offer by emailing us at michael@theamericanview.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Institute on the Constitution's work, you can find out more about who we are and what we do at theamericanview.com.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade back to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the Fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444. To join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Eric Weinmayer knew the risks. Less than 1,200 people had ever conquered Mount Everest, and more than 175 had died trying. But still he climbed, not seeing the terrifying drops or the fear on other faces. And when he reached the summit, he didn't even see the view. Because Eric Weinmayer is blind. He proved it doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Pass it on.
America. Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.